Welcome back to the Original Liberals podcast, where we are reclaiming the name Liberals from the neo-left.
A.K.A. the commies. Commie pricks. Stole our name many years ago. Yeah. But since everybody sees themselves as liberal nowadays, I'd like to make it easy for them to convert themselves to rational liberals. All right? If the title means that much to them, let's just reclaim it. Let's see how much of them we can capture. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. Speaking of communists, just in case, I know that everybody can probably see the top of my shirt right now with Joseph Stalin's face on it, but I'm going to go ahead and show you the full thing.
So, dark humor is like food. Not everybody gets it. If you get it, you get it.
That's right.
If you don't, then you don't.
The kid at the convenience store a few minutes ago liked it, though.
Yeah,
he did. He liked it, absolutely.
Yeah, bought this shirt from libertariancountry.com, actually.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, just send us free stuff, Libertarian Country. I appreciate that. Yeah, give me a nice shirt, too, so we can keep on promoting it. But I guess tonight's episode is basically on libertarianism or classical liberalism, which is the same thing.
It is.
May I repeat? They are the same thing. We just have a different name now because they stole it.
They did.
So tell me what your thoughts are on the basis of libertarianism, since tonight's episode is going to be about that.
Yeah, so, like Ben said, I guess we're going to just talk about exactly what libertarianism means, because we haven't really done that yet. I mean, we did our intro episode where we kind of talked about what we were all about. You know, we did our, state of society today, state of society in the future, so... libertarianism, to me, it's a philosophy, it's a political belief, it's a lot of different things. It's a way of life. It's all about self-reliance, but not just self-reliance. It's about it's about liberty. I mean, it's in the name. It's about liberty. Liberty meaning your right to work for yourself, to earn for yourself, to think for yourself, to do whatever you want to do, and until you're infringing on somebody else's rights, mm-hmm. not their feelings, their rights,
right?
Because fuck their feelings.
Fuck their feelings.
I mean, and in a nutshell, that's it. So, what do you think?
So, I think the word that I would have tried to add to that for you, if it was coming from me, would be self-ownership.
Yeah.
All right.
What did I say?
Self-reliance.
Okay, self-ownership. I like that.
Self-ownership, to me, tells me that I will not be a slave to any men or any group of men unless I choose to be, because I own myself, nor do I want another man or any group of other men to be a slave to me and my whims and my feelings, because every one of us has a different path that we're on in life.
Mm-hmm.
And what you might feel is best for you may not be what's also best for me. So your prescription to my ills...
Is probably not...
going to be what I need in my unique life.
Yeah.
Because I own myself. I get to choose for myself. And part of choosing is making mistakes.
Yeah.
And mistakes are so important. And we're in a time where people feel that they can legislate mistakes out of society, that, you know, people who aren't getting anywhere in life and can't figure out why, if they're collecting a welfare check, for example, they're now somehow less incentivized to figure out what's going wrong with their life and just stay on that system because it's the only way they've learned at that point as adults to survive. Okay?
Yeah.
When you have no safety net is when you start to grow, because your hope of gain has to start out being stronger than your fear of loss. And because you have no safety net, it's like, fuck it, I have nothing to lose anyways. I might as well give it my best shot. And when people realize that, I think they find that life isn't nearly as complicated as they were led to believe.
Yeah.
They say that genius simplifies, and any asshole can make things more complicated, right? And this is probably true. And genius, I'm not saying you need to be a genius. What I'm saying is that when you find wisdom in life, things tend to get simpler, right? Yeah. And so the first way I can tell if someone I'm talking to isn't that wise is because they're complicated. They're incredibly complicated. They think everything is so insurmountable and everything's stacked against them and everything's so fucked and they have no way through it. It's because they're not self-reliant. They're not self-owning yet. They haven't figured that out, maybe. But anyways, maybe...
But like you said, though, a lot of them, people aren't incentivized to figure it out, and I wonder how many people would figure it out if they were...
They almost all would. If...
Yeah.
We're all descendants of people who figured it out along the way.
Yeah, for literally forever until... Like,
forever
until like 100 years ago.
I mean, I don't know if 1,000 generations is the right number, but
something like that.
Who knows? I mean, it's a ridiculous amount of generations. People figured it out along the way. And what we have now is people, and I think most people watching this, if you're not already a libertarian, probably don't know what it means. It's more of like to them a nebulous term.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of spacey...
It's something people laugh at, too. It's like, yeah. If you don't know what it means, but you have like a general... I think the main thing that gets publicized, I mean, that the media promotes about libertarians, like, mm-hmm. when you think libertarian, you think like, oh, legalize all drugs, you know, for example. Something along those lines. Like,
without understanding
why. And then
it kind
of stops at that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, to be fair, like, I say that, and that would be a hardcore libertarian viewpoint. I'm not for legalization of all drugs.
Okay, so that's where you and I differ.
Yeah,
because I'm pretty hardcore.
I figured we might.
I'm hardcore, and the reason why is for the same reason that taxation is theft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
because it is. I agree.
If taking 100% of someone's earnings is slavery.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage does it stop being slavery?
Yeah, it's where do you draw that line?
Where is that line? Right? So if everybody opts in voluntarily, which is a big part of libertarianism we'll go into called voluntarism, but if everybody voluntarily opts into a society that protects their rights and chooses to spend their money for taxation to support this system, mm-hmm. then that's completely virtuous. That's my line, personally.
Yep. Okay.
However... It has to be voluntary. That's the difference between slavery and not slavery is voluntarism.
Yeah. Income tax in particular is, I'm going to use a word I hate, but it's problematic from a libertarian standpoint.
Sure.
It is. Other forms of taxes, not so much, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I recognize you have to have some taxes. You have to have some services. There has to be, the government has to have some money.
Absolutely.
You know, but income taxes are a problem, and they're entirely, the way they're set up now is insane. Like,
Well, I tend to believe that when the Federal Reserve was implemented in, what, was it 1923, I think?
I think we...
Was it a different year?
It was 1913, excuse me.
Along with the income tax, there was no, it was not a coincidence that they both came in together.
No.
And it was a way to enslave a nation, or at least take the power, take the reins and the control on a developing nation. Income tax, property tax, which absolutely egregious to a libertarian, to think that I only get to own things symbolically as long as I pay you annually.
Yeah.
And if I don't do that...
Can I ask you what...
Sure.
What, and this is where people have a big problem with libertarianism, because
philosophically agree with everything you just said, but pragmatically, sure. I see a lot of problems. So where does the government get its revenue? If you're king for a day,
if I'm king for a day,
you get to rewrite the tax code,
mm-hmm.
and then you retire and you come back to doing this podcast.
Sure.
So,
ooh, that's a good question to put me right on the spot. It's going to be minimal as possible. The first thing that my mind goes to is that I'm not so worried about the taxation structure as I am the spending apparatus.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get the spending under control first and see where we're really at.
100%.
And then reassess from there.
We can cut the vast majority of the money they spent. The vast majority.
We shouldn't be in the business of empire building, which we absolutely are.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
And then if we are in the business of empire building, it should be through technological advancement from liberty that gives incentive to brilliant people within our society to create things that change the world.
Sure.
All right? So if everybody's dependent on us in trade, it's way better than being dependent on us to not blow them up.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's way better.
Yeah.
Not only is it work better without blowback, but people,
yeah.
and people like you more, but it's actually more moral mm-hmm. as well. So we should be incentivizing our greatest minds and our greatest people and not deterring them through unnecessary taxation and then spending their money on stupid bullshit.
I agree 100%. So let's say you have the ability to cut, you get to cut all the spending you want.
Mm-hmm.
We'll say 80%. You mm-hmm. cut 80% of the federal mm-hmm. budget, or you're getting the other 20%. And under, by which means? Like, what are you taxing? Who are you taxing?
What am I taxing? Who am I taxing? First of all,
because it's got to be, they're not generating income. The government does not generate any income. We know that.
Well, like, I mean, the post office charges
okay.
for stamps.
Maybe they do. Maybe they generate some income. Maybe they generate some income, but they're not generating income.
Sure. You know, the kids do pay for the school lunches. And yeah, I'm not sure how much income they make there.
When I was a kid, it was 10 cents a meal.
10 cents a meal, which is... Yeah.
I think it went up to 25 cents in high school.
Oh, those bastards.
It wasn't even worth 25 cents.
No.
It was terrible.
But, so, first of all, there is no class brackets. There is no de-incentivizing those who succeed the most, first of all.
Yeah, agree.
All right, get rid of the welfare state. Gone.
Okay.
Whatever the welfare state money, how much money there is in the welfare state, throw it out of the annual budget.
Okay.
Fuck that.
Okay.
You send the money to the military, first of all. The military protects our national sovereign borders.
Yep.
Protects all the states.
I'm with you so far, 100%.
100%, right?
Yep.
So, that's where the money goes to. We don't need 1 million IRS agents.
Wait.
All right.
No.
1 million IRS agents probably make a lot of money
yeah.
when combined, especially with their pensions. Those people would be much better served in the private sector.
Agreed.
All right. So we can cut so much waste that it almost becomes impossible to tell you what we need to actually run a healthy federal government.
But where?
But where does it come from?
I keep putting you on the spot, but where are we getting it? We have to get it. It has to be taxed from somewhere.
Yes, it does. We have 300 plus million Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say 50% of them are potentially tax-paying Americans.
Yep.
You're talking about 150 plus million taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't run a federal government...
I agree with you.
Percentage of 150 million people who are earning and working as hard as Americans
are. Are we taxing
work?
Their income or their property, though?
So, you don't have to tax income or property. You can tax spending, first of all.
Taxing sales.
Because spending is a voluntary act.
So we tax sales. A national sales tax.
National sales tax.
Okay.
Goods and services, mm-hmm. man. And, like... Spending is a voluntary act.
It is.
I don't need permission to make a life for myself,
mm-hmm.
which is what income tax is.
Yeah.
In order to continue subsisting outside of jail,
yeah.
and if I want to make a life for myself, I have they own 3 months or more of my life
yeah.
before I start every year.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Okay, so they're telling me they own at least one quarter of my life. My time, my talents, my efforts, my energy, and my creativity, one quarter to one half, they have a higher claim on than I can claim for myself.
And you know what they do with the money?
That is morally wrong. first of all.
They send it to Ukraine.
They send it to Ukraine.
They send it to Ukraine so that they can get blown up by the Russians. And that's
wrong.
To me, what they do with it is more infuriating than how they take it. And how they take it's infuriating, too. I hate that they tax my income. But I especially hate the fact that they piss it away.
We're not their subjects.
No.
We're talking about libertarianism here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They do not own you. They Agreed. Do not own you, mm-hmm. and they do not own me. The only way they can own us is if we let them. All right? So I own me, first of all.
Self-ownership is about as basic as it gets. Like, you're walking around in your own head. Like, wherever you go, there you are. Like, it doesn't get any more basic than
this
that.
This is
like,
so serious.
You are...
I'm a sovereign human being
yep.
with rights mm-hmm. and a life to live with, and I don't owe anybody my life. Mm-mm. Now, if I want to trade voluntarily, I don't mind the idea of a sales tax. It's a necessary evil. To live in a modern healthy society, yes, there has to be some revenue. Mm-hmm. But property tax is egregiously wrong. Let's accelerate a healthy economy and use that to create taxes. Now, there's probably other sources that are all right, too. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. This country was fine and developing and doing very well before the income tax was implemented.
Yeah. Yeah, it was...
We had already won a world war, or we're getting close to it.
Yeah.
Before...
19, yeah, yeah.
Before the income tax came in.
Yeah.
So don't tell me we need it, because we don't. And we have a much larger, broader, healthier base of people at this point in a much more educated world. So with a better schooling system, in those days, people were working in factories for ridiculous hours and living yeah. lives of just pure destitution. And still, this country was doing fine.
Yeah,
we had a military. We had all those things. So I don't think it's necessary just by that. Now, if it's alright if I switch the subject, I actually would like to get to really what the meaning of libertarianism is.
Yeah, let's do that.
And if you don't mind, the first thing I want to say about it, in my mind, is it's not a political philosophy at all.
I agree. We've talked a little bit about that before, and
it is purely a philosophy first.
It bleeds into politics
very
easily. Which
has its own expressions in yeah. every part of life.
Yeah.
Right? And one of those parts of life is politics.
And I think the reason for that is that politics is government, by its very definition, restricts people.
Sure.
So it immediately, its very existence infringes upon, I mean, a libertarian is basically a soft, not a soft anarchist, but it's like, how close can we get to the line? Like,
absolutely.
What is the least amount of government we can get and still...
The guys who created our government knew it was a necessary evil.
Yeah.
And that the it's a poison
yeah.
that you take in order to keep on in the right direction. Mm-hmm. You have to have it. So we're not anarchists here,
no.
But soft anarchy is pretty close.
Yeah.
But really, I think libertarianism is purely a personal philosophy of someone who owns themselves, but also isn't. Isn't malignant about it either, because I don't want to hurt anybody else. That's what the federal government's job is. Government is literally the legalization of force.
Yeah.
If you could define government as anything, it's the ability to elect someone to enact force upon your neighbor on your behalf because you can't do it for yourself. It's not right to do that.
Yeah.
I can't force you to do anything, Matt.
No.
However, if you've broken a law, legalization, you can send government agents, police, to police that person mm-hmm. or that act or whatever's going with the situation and make sure it either stays within certain guidelines or if it has exceeded those guidelines to figure out what they are and take those guidelines to court, those infractions to court, and have a court system in place to take care of disputes.
Yep.
And really, that's almost the entire role of the government when in a nutshell.
What it should be, yeah.
What it should be. Even
but
roads.
The slippery slope happens fast.
Well, yeah, because power is intoxicating yeah. to people. Mm-hmm, human yeah. nature is going to push people to, if they can find a gain in their own personal lives from expanding the definition of governmental power, they're going to do it. And obviously, we've had 250 years of expansion of governmental
power. Anybody who doesn't think power is intoxicating, go to your HOA meeting.
No kidding.
Thank God,
right?
I don't have one. But like,
I know. Yep. Yeah, well, you know, down here in the South, we have a lot of people coming from the Northeast, very liberal, very leftist people coming down from the Northeast. And the first thing they're doing is registering as Republicans and then going into local town councils and becoming HOA leaders.
Wait, registering as Republicans?
Yeah. That's bad down in Florida right now.
Well,
yeah.
We don't have, well, at least in South Carolina, we don't have party registration. But you're telling me that they're going to Florida, registering as Republicans. The leftists from New York, New Jersey.
Yeah. Yep. Really? So they can get elected, because they know people will elect based off of the R or the D next to the name. Yeah. And when they get there, they start implementing their policies.
Huh.
Again, they're activists.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Progressive activists.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have a set of rigid rules.
It just goes to show you the party label is meaningless.
It's very meaningless. It's entirely meaningless, which is why it's better to have a philosophy. Labels are terrible for people.
They really are.
Because they become married to those ideas, and it becomes cult-like.
It does.
So, and there's an in-group and out-group, and if you don't do what the cult tells you, when you join, they're super happy, and they tell you you're going to have all the answers, and you get all your self-sense of worth, and then as soon as you want to leave because things feel funny, they turn on you hard. So libertarianism is not that at all, because it's not that
because
at all.
It's about...
How can you have a cult based on someone who just believes in their own individual rights? You can't have a cult that way. It's not possible.
No. I'm telling you, your own individual rights are all you've got.
Yeah.
In the end, that's all you've got. Like,
so it's the truth. Yep. And what are your individual rights? Your life?
Liberty, property, or would be like...
Life, liberty, property, pursuit of happiness.
Yep.
As you know, if you want to know what a libertarian government looks like, look at our founding. Look at the Constitution. Look at the nation that was being built. The one that's been perfected and created the greatest nation in the history of the world. And that's what a libertarian government looks like.
Yeah.
Want to know what a Democrat-Republican government looks like? Go watch CNN. See how that looks. That's the difference. We're not living in a liberty.
No, not
driven.
Even close. Not
and
even
they've
close.
Even changed the. You don't even hear the word liberty anymore.
Can we?
Liberty's been replaced by freedom, which means something different. First of all,
I want to say something about a word I hear all the time is democracy, democracy, mm-hmm. democracy, democracy, democracy,
sure.
democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Is really the antithesis in its purest form of libertarianism. That democracy means that. Was it Benjamin Franklin that said democracy is two sheeps and a wolf voting on what's for dinner?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
There are two wolves and a
sheep. I don't know that it was Ben Franklin, but I've heard that quote before, and that's a great quote. I think it was Ben Franklin.
It's two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner, and freedom or whatever it is, you know, a well-armed sheep contesting the vote.
That's right.
But you hear democracy all the time, just... Our democracy is under threat, blah, blah,
sure.
blah, blah, blah. First of all, like, democracy, the word democracy is not in our Constitution once. It's not in there. It doesn't say it, so we can kind of get over that, hopefully, but we won't. But
well, what is democracy?
Democracy is 51% rule. That's what it is.
It's the majority rule.
It's the mob telling you, democracy creates slavery. I'm telling you, democracy creates slavery.
How does it do it? I
agree
with
you. Well, because
if
there's 70% of one group of people that want to force the other 30% of the people to work on their fucking plantations, then they can do that
because they can
outvote them, which is bullshit.
That's exactly right.
It's the opposite of libertarianism.
It's the opposite,
100%. It really is.
So
I get fired up every time I hear it. It drives me crazy.
For sure.
Yeah.
But there's a reason that's become the... one of the buzzwords you hear, we need to save democracy.
Mm-hmm.
We need to save... That is a very... Because people don't know the meanings of words, which is why I think one of the reasons you and I are here trying to, you know, holding this podcast...
Yeah, the meaning of words is a big, kind of a big theme here, the original liberals, you know?
Words have so much power that we don't even realize as we're saying them, but they have a subconscious pull.
Yeah.
Even if we can't consciously tell you what something means, we kind of know intuitively. And when someone tells you the wrong word over and over again, and you obfuscate one word for another, they do that. People just go along with it. The ship changes course in the night. Over the course of time, when you remove the word liberty, which means something different than freedom.
It does.
and you start parroting freedom and democracy rather than libertarian or liberty,
yeah,
there's a big difference in the course of the ship once you've started going that direction. Yeah. Do you tend to agree on a socially on a social engineering level?
I think so.
Because freedom is what government gives you. I have the freedom to do this and that. But it also implies that the government could take certain freedoms away from you.
Or is freedom, are you born with it? Like,
you're born with liberty. You have the, as an adult, you gain liberty. You have the right to self-ownership, autonomy.
But it comes with life.
And sovereignty.
It comes with being alive. And then
you
mature.
Until then, your parents have that.
Sure, yeah. A five-year-old doesn't have liberty.
Right. Yeah, that's certain. I'm sure the parents can pick and choose the liberties, the freedoms they give to a child.
Yeah,
but you gain liberty as an adult, in my opinion. That's why it's not give me freedom or give me death.
No, it isn't.
Okay, it's give me liberty or give me death. There's a reason for this.
Yeah.
Liberty, liberal, libertarian. These things are all obviously the same thing, okay? Yeah. And this is the point where, I want to impress, and I know you want to impress, that this is super important, not just because we think it's important, but it's overall to the social architecture.
It's important for you too, like, whoever you are.
Yeah.
Your personal freedom and liberty, your liberty, your ability to choose for yourself, to keep your own money in your own pocket, to spend it the way you want to use it. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter how you want to use it. Do you want to use it to build a business? Do you want to buy a bunch of lottery tickets?
As long as you're not imposing on someone else, you do whatever you want.
Do with yourself what you will.
And if you are imposing on someone
else. And don't ask for anything if you make the wrong decision.
And even imposing on someone necessarily isn't a terrible thing, because let's say you're a little bit of a failure to launch, and you're imposing on your parents' home, you're staying there maybe a little later in life than you should, and you're not doing anything to get out of it, it's still, your parents are voluntarily allowing you to stay there.
I'm going to be the first to admit that in my early 20s, I had some...
Sure.
I know my parents are watching.
Sure.
My parents helped me a lot.
Absolutely.
I made some stupid fucking decisions.
Yeah.
And they helped me. And then I learned.
But that's exactly it. They trusted in you to learn.
Yeah.
And that was their prerogative to do so, but that was voluntary.
Sure, exactly. Nobody's forcing anybody to do anything.
The important contrast, though, is when you want the government and your politician, you trade your vote to a politician, and they promise to force him to pay you, or force you to pay him, instead of his parents voluntarily doing it.
It's akin to somebody showing up at your house with a gun.
Well, the reason it is because every single conflict with government is done at the point of a gun. And I know that sounds probably alarmist or extreme or dramatic.
It's true.
But it's 100% true, because let's say I got pulled over for speeding on the way here. If I refused to comply with a police officer, he'd probably threaten to pull me out of the car. If he put his hands on me forcibly, which he has, again, force, he's legally allowed to forcibly pull me out of the car. I can't do that to him, right?
Well, so if
I've complicated the situation and he's in his legal rights to do so.
Yeah, he's got probable cause.
He has probable cause. He can pull me from my car. Well, let's say I want to protect myself. I know he has a gun and I don't have one. I punch a cop right in the face. Do they have the legal right to shoot me at that point?
I mean, they might anyway, but no.
No, they do have the legal right. If I've attacked an officer...
You punch a cop in the face, and whose opinion are you asking for? Mine?
I'm a big dude. I go to the gym. Most officers, when they approach me, are going to be on guard anyways. All right? I'm 280 pounds, 6'2".
Punch a cop, you get a...
If I punch a cop... The first thing they're doing is either pepper spray.
I guess it depends on the cop. It depends on who you're punching.
Let's get out of the minutiae for a second, though. Let's go on what they're capable of doing by law.
Okay.
We're talking about the legalized use of force here.
Okay.
They're allowed to use any force necessary in depending on the level of how far this has gone.
And that's going to be judged by a jury, though.
It's going to be judged by a jury.
Yeah.
But it's also going to be judged by a police department that's on their buddy's side. It's going to be judged on by a legal system that is incentivized not to give people an idea that they can start acting this way towards cops.
Yeah.
So the more I progress this and increase the volatility of the situation, the more likely I am to get shot.
That we can agree on.
So, okay. Yeah. That's really my point that I was trying to make.
True.
So, okay, that's cops. We all understand traffic stops and that's how it works. Well, what if I don't pay my taxes? Okay. So after a long enough time, if I don't pay my taxes, they come to my door.
Yeah.
Right? Well, when they come to my home and they're on my property and they try to come in and tell me that I owe them something that they are entitled to, if I disagree, they will enter my home. And if I try to throw them out of my home, they pull their gun. Mm-hmm. Name any government scenario where I am not at the threat of force by a gun. There is not one. Because every single... That is why government is the mm-hmm. legalization of force, and including deadly force.
Yeah, they can put you in a cage for years.
That's exactly right.
They can throw you in a cage for the rest of your life.
That's right.
They can take you, handcuff you, put mm-hmm. you in the back of a car,
yeah.
and then transport you to a giant building full mm-hmm. of fucking cages.
Mm-hmm. And then throw you in with a bunch of dangerous people.
Yep.
And treat you any way they want to in there, and if you act up, they'll throw you in solitary confinement, and you'll be gone forever. If you continue acting up, they'll literally throw you in there forever.
But the devil's advocate point is that some people, I think we brought this up on a previous mm-hmm. episode, some people need to be put in cages.
So 100%.
There has to be do you draw the line when force, like, where is it okay for the government to put you in handcuffs, take you to the building, put you in the cage?
That's why we have individual rights. And if you don't hurt somebody else and you stay within your circle of what's okay for you, because you can choose any way you want to as long as you don't impose on somebody else. If I take from you, I steal, force, fraud,
as long violence, as you don't violate somebody else's life, liberty, and
life,
property.
My life, liberty, and property and pursuit of happiness goes as far, infinitely as far as I want, as long as it doesn't affect yours.
Yep.
And that's when it does affect yours, is when they should have the legal right to be able to step in.
Yeah.
That's what
we've elected them to do.
Because they are our servants.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones we elect. And
somebody
pay.
Tell Lindsey Graham he's my servant, please.
Yeah, please tell them all. Well, please remind them. All right. And if I seem overly serious about this, I think it's because we have gone so far as a nation.
It frustrates the hell out of me.
It frustrates me.
It does.
And we usually try to keep the podcast a little bit lighter. And if I'm not feeling that way tonight, I apologize. I'll get there. I promise.
That's all right. It is what it is.
But, again, libertarian becomes the self-ownership philosophy, and that becomes very dangerous to the point of to the government or any power structure. When you start asserting your own liberty and rights, they don't like that a whole lot because they got a job to do.
Yeah.
So that's the power struggle between the population and the government itself. And as a libertarian, I think you and I very clearly know what we want. I think as a, if you don't subscribe to our philosophy, you probably don't have nearly as clear of an idea because everything has moving goalposts at that point.
It does.
Don't you think?
Yeah. It's the problem I've always had is where do you draw the line? Like where,
mm-hmm.
like I said earlier, like we'll go back to it, the legalization of drugs. Would you support the legalization of heroin?
Absolutely.
I would not.
Why not?
Because heroin addicts are like zombies. They will kick your door down,
mm-hmm.
even though they think they're probably going to get shot to mm-hmm. steal $15 so they mm-hmm. can score. Like,
mm-hmm. true.
It degrades. It literally like degrades society. Like,
if someone's doing heroin, do they care if it's legal or not?
No.
Then why make it illegal?
Because when you make it illegal. And you know, it's. I'm going to call my dad out a second time here because I always argue with my dad about legalization of marijuana, and I'm kind of arguing his point against you.
No, that's great.
But, you know, he always says, like, well, if it's legal, then everybody will smoke it, and then you'll have a bunch of lazy people, and I'm always
that's already happened.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that we've created a bunch of lazy people.
It doesn't matter. Like, we're not even really arguing marijuana, but, like, if you just allow this drug to be readily available.
Mm-hmm.
Because if heroin,
we already do.
If heroin,
it's called opiates.
Okay,
They sell them in pharmacies.
I know. But if heroin were to be totally decriminalized, legal, you can buy it at the gas station.
Sure.
You're going to have fucking problems. You're going to have them fast. You're going to have... The society, I believe that would cause society to crumble, and I think that there's a certain line we have to be able to draw where as a libertarian, I'm willing to concede something.
Did the war on drugs work?
No.
Of course not.
Of course not.
All right, so why make it illegal?
I don't know.
It doesn't work. It does not work. All you're doing is creating criminals and actually helping criminal enterprises.
Do you think our country would be better off if heroin was legal in all 50 states tomorrow? I've picked the worst, like fentanyl, like whatever it
okay.
is. Like,
sure.
Opiates. Like you can get any drug you want tomorrow all across the country.
All right. First of all,
a lot of people would die immediately, and that's
not
a
bad
thing. I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to say it's not my problem.
Right.
It's that part's not my problem. That's their problem.
When you try and rig any type of economy, there's bad effects. There's unintended consequences.
Agreed.
To unnaturally rigging any free arena.
Agreed.
Including which people will or should or shouldn't use what drugs. Okay?
That's, yeah.
All right.
For sure.
So what we have is a mental health crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. The money first spent on chasing after drug cartels would be much better spent by legalizing, not having any drug cartels left. Because you know what happens to drug cartels when things are legal? It goes from Al Capone to Budweiser.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So you're destroying criminal enterprises by legalizing things, first of all.
And that's a good thing. So far, we're on the same page.
Yeah. So... And then take the money that you were using to fight the war on drugs and put it into readily available mental health facilities and professionals available to people who are having drug issues. Because the prison system is a business like anything else, and they cannot exist without enough people to fill the prisons. It's a big enterprise. It's a big corporation.
Mm.
Fuck that corporation.
Yeah.
Let's get people on the road to recovery rather than putting them in a jail cell with other criminals so they can learn to be better criminals. And still stay with all the mental and health issues they have and never get treated while they're in those walls.
See, ideally, first of all, everything you just said I agree with.
Yeah.
And I would love to see how your system would work, and I hope that it would work because it's philosophically exactly how I feel. Like, I would...
Sure.
Love a system where you could, get rid of the prisons. Like,
what happened?
Not get rid of the prisons, but deal with like the mental health issues and the problems. Like,
yeah,
the underlying problems. You can legalize things that adults want to do, but and that's what I believe would be best. But I just don't know. I don't think it would work the way you think it would.
A big part of the definition of libertarianism is believing in something called spontaneous natural order. Have you ever heard this term before?
I have.
Okay. Spontaneous natural order knows that any desire to control something outside of yourself is an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So all you can do is be the best person yourself, and everything else will fall into its place around you. You have trust that the world will literally, if you're a good person, you'll attract certain things and repel others. If you're a bad person, you'll attract certain things and repel others.
Yeah.
And your world will spontaneously evolve from the character you display as a human being, and the strength and the perseverance and all the things that self-owning man can convey.
Yeah.
Right? But most people don't trust themselves in that.
Yeah.
They feel completely out of control. Therefore, they have a subconscious desire to try to control everything. Now, take that and put it in government where they're constantly paranoid that they're going to lose their power.
Mm-hmm.
All you're going to have is a mass psychosis coming from government trying to control everybody and do everything. It's the opposite of libertarianism. I believe in spontaneous natural order where I'm going to be the best person I can be and everything else is just going to fall into place the best it can. Nothing's ever perfect, but I'm going to be the best person I can be and not try to control anything I know I can't actually control. And that's what it really comes down to. It. If someone makes 1,000 mistakes, and I've made 1,000 mistakes, to learn one lesson, it's about time well spent.
Yeah.
is Thomas Edison with a light bulb. 999 tries at a light bulb and one success.
Yep.
But it changed the world forever. And when you have a society of people who have become self-reliant and they're allowed to make mistakes, including heroin, including all sorts of things, if they can survive those mistakes and learn from them, they're better human beings.
I agree with you, but I feel like the process of them, of all, not all 400 million people in this country are going to go out and start shooting heroin.
Of course, very few of them are.
But like that process of getting from mistake to, there's going to be a lot of bullshit that happens during that time period, man.
The people
like,
who
there's
shoot...
going to be a lot of old ladies getting their purses stolen, like mugged, like.
Not necessarily.
You don't think so?
And I'll tell you why. The same people that are doing heroin now with the illegal are the same people who would be doing it if it was legal. It's still going to happen. Changing the law doesn't stop people from doing anything.
No, you're right.
Heroin users are going to be heroin users, and that's it.
I think we'll have more heroin users.
You think we'd have more?
I do. I think we'd have more.
I think
heroin.
We'd have less.
You do.
I absolutely think we'd have less because...
Maybe we'd have more initially and then less eventually.
Okay.
I think it would be a...
Yes.
You know, more of a like a spike okay. and then...
That's
point.
Fair. That's fair.
But maybe maybe in the long run, that's a good thing. I don't
a
know.
Lot of people become heroin users because they're trying to make a living.
Yeah.
Right? They get into the drug trade and an illegal trade. Well, what if that trade didn't exist anymore? Because what happens is when you criminalize something... You actually create a market for it because there's now a higher value.
Mm-hmm.
When things aren't readily available but wanted, value's high. It's all about scarcity and supply and demand, right? Well, what if you flooded the market, legalized it?
Just flood.
And it's not worth shit.
Yeah.
There's no more criminal enterprises because it's
you
not profitable anymore.
You would definitely get
anymore.
Rid of the criminal enterprises.
Yeah, there's not profitable anymore, right?
Yeah.
So we've already legalized the active stuff in heroin. We just call them opiates now.
Yeah,
methamphetamine or methadone. Or
yeah, but still, you gotta have like a doctor has to prescribe that.
Absolutely,
yeah,
legalize it with reasonable regulation.
Okay, so that's where you draw your line because I was just talking about where do you draw the line.
Uh huh.
You're talking about reasonable regulation.
Yeah.
In my little world that I'm coming up with, it's just legal. All of a sudden, you can buy it at the gas station. I can walk into the gas station, order a
I'm fine with that.
A gram of heroin.
I'm actually fine with
that.
I'm
kind
of fine with that, too, by the way. I really am.
But you did just say reasonable regulation, so you're willing to draw the line somewhere.
There has to be. There has to be a line somewhere.
I think the line should be heroin. I mean, not just heroin, but, like, there's a certain, like...
Okay. All I can say is show me evidence that any law deters bad people from doing things. Show me any one, and then I'll just agree with you.
I don't have it off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's laws. I'm sure.
I mean,
on the next podcast, I'm going to come up with laws that deter people from doing bad things. I can assure you that I can come up with
Are there any mass shootings in Chicago?
Are there what?
Do people shoot each other in Chicago?
All the time.
Where there's gun, are there a lot of? How about the gun laws in Chicago? Are they pretty restrictive?
Yeah, extremely.
What about St. Louis?
Yeah.
What about
people
Baltimore?
People shoot each other all the time.
Oh, yeah. No, are they supposed to have guns out there?
No.
No, the laws don't change a damn thing.
But it's not really the same
all it does
thing.
All laws do is keep good people from having things. Because the bad people are going to have them anyways.
But we have to have some laws.
We do have to have some laws. And I'm talking about...
I feel like, by the way, I feel like this is... A fairly standard libertarian type argument.
Debate,
like,
sure.
Like libertarians.
Where's the line?
That's the big problem with libertarianism is where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
I think anyway.
Because they are so individual. Because libertarians are so individualistic.
Because if you don't draw the line, you've got anarchy. It's like, okay,
right.
We're all trying to get as close to anarchy as we can, but we're all drawing our line. I'd draw my line a little further right than Ben is.
Absolutely.
But,
for sure.
Yeah.
So, and you know, another definition of libertarianism, and this is a great way if you don't understand libertarians. To think of it is that we are social liberals. We believe that people can be whoever they want to be, judge people by their individual character. I don't care whether you're a woman or man or black or white or gay or straight or trans or not trans. None of that matters because I see you as an individual human being with a character. And I'm going to judge you based on the basis of your character, like Martin Luther King said.
Yeah.
I want my little children to be judged on the basis of their character. And we've lost that meaning. Also, they don't talk about that anymore, right?
Yeah.
And
then this is very important too. we as libertarians judge people on the basis of their character, but other people can, other people who don't judge people on the basis of their character have the right to do that, and we've got the right to think that they're assholes.
Absolutely.
Like
100%. No, that's a huge part of libertarianism, is realizing that what I believe is right for me is not necessarily right for anybody else, and I have no right. I've got no right to stop them from thinking or feeling.
I've
or
got
doing
no right to tell somebody what their religious beliefs should be. If you're against gay marriage, I think you're crazy. Like, my thought is like, why the hell would you care about something like that? But it's your belief, and I've got no right to tell you how to.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
It's just I believe what I believe. You believe what you believe, and we've all got the right to believe.
I control myself, and that's it. Everything else.
And ideally, we should all be able to discuss it, argue about it in a civil way without, you know, without destroying relationships and
tearing
families apart. Like, I hear stories about people that...
But that's you don't see that with libertarians. Libertarians...
You don't. You see it with people, like, other groups, you know, like...
Libertarians enjoy debate.
Yeah.
When you and I don't agree, it's fun.
Oh, it's the best.
It's the best. And I only like
we
you more because
we look for things we don't agree on. Like, it's...
that's the best part of it, is because we're two rational people having a discussion. And even if I'm wrong, I win.
And you know what?
Because I've learned. Yeah.
Sometimes he sways my beliefs on things. I'll think about
vice versa.
I think about things we've talked about afterwards and think, yeah, you know, he's kind of got a good point. Like, I might move my needle a little bit.
But again,
there's not a whole lot of that out there
again,
anymore.
We're social liberals.
Yeah.
And governmental conservatives. We want to have as much liberty as possible for people. So you have to restrict government in order to do so, and you have to be a conservative governmentally. And I think the problem is, in the way people's brains work, it's hard to be liberal on one thing and conservative at the same time on
something
else.
It's because they put it in categories. To me, libertarianism works beautifully.
Okay.
I've always kind of had a issue with how... Not an issue, but to me, it's natural to believe that the government should keep their hands out of your pockets and at the same time not tell you what to think and what to do.
Sure.
I've always thought that it was unnatural that conservatives tend to believe in fiscal conservatism and and then social, you know, they're on the right socially.
Sure.
And then Democrats tend to be on the right or the left socially, and then... You know, they want to tax the shit out of you.
Yep.
And don't get me started how they've gone off the rails on the left side, too. Like, it's all that's a complicated subject.
It's both sides. To us, they're both the same, just so you know.
To me, libertarianism is natural. Like, it's just a natural way to think, like, don't tax me. Tax me as little as possible.
And frankly, I'll voluntarily pay for a good government.
Yeah, me
I think
too.
People who feel like they're getting something in return...
Me too.
And they're not subjects to a ruling class, will happily pay to have a happy society.
Yeah. No,
think about how much money
could, for things.
Think about how much money would go to charity that doesn't go to charity because they tax you on your income and your sales and your ownership.
Yeah. Just think about how much money of that money would be injected back into the economy even if it doesn't go to charity.
Exactly.
Just injected back into the economy instead of getting sent to Ukraine and being blown up.
Right.
Or any other thing. It's Ukraine right now. It was something else last year. Like,
the reason libertarians believe that government is a necessary evil is because corruption is an inherent part of human nature.
Yeah.
Especially amongst those who seek power. The average person on the street isn't running for Congress.
No, they've got no interest.
You've got maybe two or three different types of people that we believe would run for Congress. Mm-hmm. One is an idealist who wants to impose their idealistic view upon society.
Mm-hmm.
Two is a narcissist who wants to enjoy fame and power. And another one would essentially, in my mind, be someone that is, I guess maybe instead of the fame part, they're going after the power and influence part. All right? So, and then maybe the fourth would be like us, where we'd literally go to stop those people from being able to take up a spot. And that's
it. There's very few of the fourth, though.
There's very, very few of the fourth. But mostly speaking, the people who enjoy governmental power are the ones that really enjoy governmental power, which is why government, it has to be... We have a set of laws against the government that holds them in place. And it's only a few deep. It's not very large.
No, it's not.
No, and it's called the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Constitution. That's supposed to hold them in check and put the handcuffs on them. Look at how many laws we have against us from them that put our handcuffs on us.
A lot more than that.
That's it's not untenable because we live with it every day. But yep. I'll tell you what, it's not ideal.
No, certainly
it's,
not.
It's not. It's not the healthy, happy society that we're seeing all these problems in. If you got government out of the way and let people live their lives and make their mistakes and become better human beings,
moral liberty is better. It just is.
Yeah. You know what else I believe?
What?
I believe we should bring back dueling.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You want to duel?
Fuck yeah. Absolutely, man.
Let's duel.
Tell me, listen.
How? What if we did a podcast duel? We could duel on the podcast.
Holy shit, man. We might get... We might blow up YouTube. All right? So, here's why I say that.
Where's a gliding a white glove?
If you...
I challenge you to a duel.
So think about this. And actually, I have a friend who's in Congress right now, and I was talking to him one time, and I mentioned this to him, and he thought I was kidding. I'm not. Think about this. If people were under constant threat of someone challenging them
mm-hmm.
to a duel, voluntarily, two consenting adults, voluntarily dueling one another, who have done the proper way of doing it,
yep. Went to the guy's house, slapped him in the face with a white glove.
Then put the contract on the table. They both signed
yep.
it. And then the person who shoots the other shouldn't be charged because it was a voluntary act, in my mind.
I agree.
Now imagine.
I agree. I am pro a right to duel.
Imagine if how people's attitudes would change if being shot was a legal option.
Yeah, but they would have to agree.
For being an asshole.
They would have to agree to the duel.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what? You get these prideful assholes. You bait them enough, they'll agree to it.
It would probably make society a better place.
Number one, you'd be ridding society of a bunch of assholes who shoot each yep. other, first of all. Leaving the rest of us to be fine.
Dude.
I'm not saying I want a duel. I'm saying I want to live... I want to represent their assholes' right to duel each other.
Honestly, though, now that you bring that up, there is no reason two grown human beings, adults, uh-huh. who want to fight each other to the death shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Absolutely.
If they're in their right minds.
Yeah.
As long as nobody's... You know, well, but then again, who judges that?
But you know what? People have died in the boxing ring.
Yeah,
and that's a constant specter over any UFC fighter.
Yeah,
they could die at any time.
Yeah,
you know, any football player.
Yeah,
you know, I'm a Patriots fan. I remember when Drew Bledsoe got his lung severed. Tom Brady came in on my birthday in 2001, and
that was on your birthday.
Oh, my best, the greatest birthday present of my life.
No shit.
Was Tom Brady coming in September 23rd, 2001, to replace Drew Bledsoe?
No shit.
Greatest birthday present of my life. You know, thank you to my wife for giving me a bunch of great birthdays, but it's hard to top that one. All right. So anyways, but Drew Bledsoe almost died on the field.
Mm-hmm.
He severed a lung. You know, it could happen to anybody
yeah.
voluntarily playing any sport. Why not just allow him to go a step further? I don't understand. If people want to choose that for their life, then go for it.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason that I should be able to stop them.
No, you can't stop.
It's not my right to stop them.
No, you can't stop two grown human beings from making a choice.
That's right. And that applies to anything, whether a hetero couple wants to get married. You know what?
Dueling is just the extreme example. I think that's what we're trying to get at, really.
Yeah, it's exactly. Actually, I'll go to another extreme example. I want to criminalize marriage. Not because people shouldn't be able to be married, but because government has no place giving me a license to be married.
I'm 100% on board with it.
What right do they have to determine whether I'm legally married?
Gets
or
rid
not?
Of the gay marriage or whatever the debate is.
I don't exactly
get government out of
let,
it.
Let three men get married, and I don't care. Cool.
And then
yeah.
if you're Presbyterian or Catholic or whatever your church
right.
is, or if your church wants to marry you,
yeah.
they can. And if they don't want to marry you, they don't have to. And instead of suing
they
them,
have the right to say yes or no. Absolutely.
Instead of suing them, you can fuck off. You
exactly.
can go get married somewhere else.
Go get married somewhere else. But
yeah.
keep the government out of marriage.
Exactly.
So I'm not criminalizing
you know,
marriage.
I'll come
marry.
I will get
yeah.
the license online, uh-huh. and then I'll marry you. That's fine.
That's right.
Gay couples come to me. If your church doesn't want to marry you, I will happily marry you.
We will happily. You can get married on the Original Liberals podcast, and you'll have a beautiful, beautiful internet marriage.
A beautiful internet marriage.
Yep.
Yep.
By two highly respected members.
Bro, who wouldn't want to do that?
Who would want to do that?
Who wouldn't want to do that?
But anyways, no. I mean, I think that's a lot of the up and down of libertarianism, in the sense that we just literally want people to have the ability to make choices for themselves without interference from somebody else.
It's really that simple. And we've just talked about it for I don't know how long, but it's that simple.
So
people make choices for themselves.
I think the reason the Libertarians as a political party have failed so spectacularly continually, and actually let's go into the history of the Libertarian Party.
Okay.
I believe it was formed as a party in 1972.
I don't know that.
And
but I believe
we were you want to talk about neoliberals being positive for gays? Our first person we elected to be president, or we wanted to
nominated
to be president, was a gay man in the 1970s. You think you're progressive? We're the real deal, first of all. Okay. This was not. This is a different climate back then, and we were. That was part of who we are. That's who we are to the bone, first of all. But that's because we're not so much. We're not going to compromise our personal morals because we have such strong morals, knowing who we are and we own ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to compromise those to win votes.
Yeah. Which is why libertarians get like 6% in every election.
That's why we're shitty politicians. We're really shitty politicians because we stick to our guns.
Yeah.
Now, you talk about a guy like Gary Johnson who ran New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the budget when he was in New Mexico. He fixed that state. He was the greatest governor in the history of New Mexico.
Yep. And what did he get when he ran? What was his final percentage? I don't
know. Oh, nothing. Nothing.
Basically nothing.
Nothing. And, you know, Ron Paul. A congressman for many, many years, and a very, very effective congressman, ran on ending the Federal Reserve because he knew that sound money is a necessary component of a healthy nation,
mm-hmm.
and that's what he made his personal goal, his entire time in Congress, and he actually had an audit the Fed bill.
I remember that.
do you remember how that went down?
No, but I remember it.
They were going to pass it. And he, in a show of trust, before anybody knew who Bernie Sanders was,
mm-hmm.
he co-authored the bill with Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders was given privileges for fucking that bill up at the last moment.
Really?
And Ron Paul, if you go on YouTube, put in Ron Paul, Bernie Sanders, audit the Fed, Ron Paul in a last-ditch attempt, went on YouTube Live, and begged people to call Bernie Sanders and change his mind. Because he got double-crossed at the last moment. Bernie Sanders was the agent that screwed up the end the Fed bill.
Wow.
And the one. And Ron Paul had trusted him.
That's crazy.
That's a true story. Look that video up. And that's probably how Bernie Sanders made his way to. They gave him a little performance bonus.
Yeah.
Based on what he had done in that situation, because auditing the Fed would be a really bad idea for the people in power.
Yeah, it would.
Because it's all the books are cooked. They want to audit you for your taxes. Their books are cooked. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was Ron Paul's point. He wanted to go into Fort Knox and audit how much gold was there.
Yeah, I've heard.
You remember that? There's no fucking gold there, man. It's all bullshit.
Not much, anyway.
It's not what they say.
Not much.
But anyways, so I say we take a quick break.
Let's do that.
And get back at it, my man. All right.
All right. Cheers, guys. And we are back.
You're back.
Cheers. Cheers. So, after that 50-minute debate, we just kind of want to close it out by giving our pitch for why libertarianism, why personal liberty is the way to go. In my opinion, you can do more with your talents and your money and your desires than anybody else can. Especially the government. And anybody. That includes your neighbor. That
Absolutely.
Includes your city council, your state government,
That's
your
right.
federal government. Your efforts, your resources are best spent doing whatever you want to do with them. And that whether that's your own self-interest, your family, your mm-hmm. friends, your community. If you want to give your money to charity, mm-hmm. good for you. Like, that's spectacular. I praise you for it. Somebody robbing you of it and spending it on bullshit is... At the point of a gun is not the best...
It's unhealthy.
No, it's not the best way that your resources can be spent. And I firmly believe that. I'll believe that till the day I die.
Absolutely. I firmly believe that the expansion of the power of government brings us closer to what would be popularly called communism.
Mm-hmm.
And communism can be defined, and has been defined in the past, as what's called state capitalism, where the state sees their citizenry as something to capitalize upon. And I believe libertarianism, the way that you and I try to express it, is the safeguard against state capitalism, against your life.
Yeah.
Not only is it the best way to run a society with the most beautiful flowers that bloom from it, not only is it healthier for people to self-determine and own their own lives and live the life that they need to live to become the best person they can be without any interference, but it's also the most moral way to run things.
It is.
And if I had to pitch it to you to consider libertarianism, that's what I would tell you. Because I believe that since our inception, the libertarian, the original liberals, the classical liberals that started this nation, took us out of the darkness. I believe it was an evolution of the French Enlightenment era.
Mm-hmm.
And they took those precepts, those concepts, and they applied it to a nation that had natural sovereignty because there was an ocean on each side of it. There was a new world to conquer. They had a new experiment where they allowed liberty to bloom. And because of that, we went from thousands of years of popes, kings, and darkness to going from horses to trains to automobiles, planes, and spaceships within a few hundred years. Thousands of years of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, once the popes and kings got out of the way and we allowed liberty to flourish, just even have half a chance, and it wasn't even perfect. It was limited liberty.
Yeah.
Look what's happened to this world. Look at the world we live in. We have a higher standard of living right now than anybody who has ever lived before us.
Absolutely.
Because of the liberties, not freedoms, the liberties we've enjoyed being Americans.
Yep.
To me, that's what this is all about.
Agreed.
And you said in the last episode we talked, you said your main concern is preserving that, which
yep.
is the conservative portion of you. To conserve something and preserve yep. something are very similar things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the conservative side of me, too, is I want to preserve. I don't want to progress past liberty. There is no progress, because it's its own end.
There is no progress past liberty. You almost just said that.
Right.
It's beautiful. Like, it really is.
There's no progress past liberty. And progressivism is a means to an end. And very few people who call themselves progressive realize what that end truly becomes. The Red Guard in communist Russia, who used to was essentially the children that they had gotten to become the activist part of the communist revolution. And when communism came to finally be, they don't need any more people to upset status quo anymore because they got communism, so they killed all the children that helped them. That's where progressives are heading right now.
It ends up with you against a wall looking at a firing squad.
In order to have revolution, in order to have revolution in a nation, there has to be destabilization first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're seeing in this nation right now.
Yeah.
Is a major destabilization. Liberty cannot be destabilized if it's treated as the end to its own means, because it is the end to its own means.
Mm-hmm.
There is no end greater than liberty. There is no destabilization. All there is progress, real progress,
mm-hmm.
in the form of technological advancement, in the form of social advancement.
Mm-hmm.
There's real progress in those ways, and that's real progressivism.
Yeah.
Right?
Agreed.
So, on that note, is there anything else you'd like to add, my friend?
I mean, I just kind of wanted to expand on what you just said. And
sure.
Like, libertarianism... I think that we talk a lot about the founding fathers and the founding of this country, and I think a lot of neoliberals will point to the fact that they were slave owners,
mm-hmm.
and I know, Ben, you just said when when you were giving your spiel that, you know, they weren't perfect, and you're right.
Mm-hmm.
But the libertarian philosophy is what progressed that. Once again, you said the word progressive as in real progression.
Mm-hmm.
That's what progressed us to where we got to a point where we have equal protection under the law.
Absolutely.
That's all part of libertarian philosophy.
And equal rules that we all get to live by.
Yeah.
With the rights to our life, liberty, pursuit, and happiness, and property.
Yep.
Right? And that's the only equality that I want.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not even equal to the same person I was last week.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm not equal to anybody else.
Yeah.
But I just want to be given an equal opportunity. I think everybody deserves that. And that's libertarianism in a nutshell.
It is.
Because there's no incentives here to make sure there's a racial quota to this. We really just, this part of the, this industry needs to have certain X number of white people or black people. Racism's racism. It doesn't matter what race you're talking about, first of all. Okay, so we don't believe in that in the least. We believe in something called meritocracy.
Yeah.
Where let a man, by his own means, his own character, his own time, talent, efforts, and energy, decide the fate of his own life.
Well, it's the exact liberal philosophy that has brought us to a point where hopefully we can maintain that.
Absolutely, my brother.
Yeah.
So. Well, what do you think, my man? Wanna call it a night?
Yeah, we'll call it a night. Hope you enjoyed
it. Thank you for listening to us. Hope we sold you something.
Cheers.
Cheers.